Okay, Shem Bishmuel, Parshas Vayetze, Tav Shin Ayin Vav. Very first piece in Shem Bishmuel and Vayetze. Quotes a Medrash. Tzom alecha nafshi, kam alecha b'soiri. Should we sing it? Tzom alecha nafshi, kam alecha b'soiri. What does it mean? Tzom alecha nafshi. My nefesh is thirsty for you. Makes sense. The neshama obviously wants to be close to Hashem. Kamal lecha b'sari. What does kamal lecha b'sari mean? That means that my body, my basar, also has a taiva for you. Rashi says in Tehillim, on this pasuk, Tehillim Samach Gimel, Rashi says that kama is a lashon taiva, ve'ein lo dimyon. Chaver, it was kedai to wake up this morning to hear this var from the Belzer Rebbe. The Belzer Rebbe says, Rashi doesn't say ein lo dimyon b'mikra, he doesn't say there's no other similar word in Tanakh, which is what Pshat is what Rashi's saying, but he doesn't say that. He says, Ein lo dimyon. Again, Pshat, Rashi's saying, if you're going to look elsewhere in Tanakh to try to figure out what this word means, you're not going to find it. But from the context, we can understand that it's a lashon taiva, it's a longing for something. Tzom alecha, kam alecha. But Rashi says, Ein lo dimyon. So the Belzer Rebbe said, Rashi didn't say, Ein lo dimyon b'mikra. He didn't say there's no comparable word in Tanakh. He just said, Ein lo dimyon. Because when a person achieves a level of kam alecha b'sari, Ein lo dimyon. Ein lo dimyon, there's nothing in the world like it. So what does it mean, kam alecha b'sar? What does it mean that my basar longs for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The neshama, of course, is thirsty for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does it mean that the basar also wants to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? In Sanhedrin, you have the famous machlokas, where the body and the soul are arguing and blaming one another. Right? For the averos, the body says, it's the neshama's fault, I can't do anything unless the neshama gives me life. And then Hashem says, well, I'm a chelek alakamim mal. I can't do anything wrong unless I enter a guf chomer, until a physical body drags me down. But the truth is, the goal is that they should work together. There should be a tzom alecha nafshi and kam alecha b'sari. That the Hashem and the guf can partner together, and one's body becomes a merkava l'shechina, like we find by the Avos. So says the Shem Bishmuel, says the Medrash, k'shem shenafshi tzmei alecha, just like my body, my nefesh is longing for you, is tzom alecha. So too, my 248 limbs are also really longing for kirvas elokus. The body, which seems to get in the way so often, really wants to be close to Hashem. Mavur mizad the Yaakov Avinu olav shalom hayegufu gam kev madregas hanefesh. Yaakov Avinu, we'll see many people who achieve this madrega. But Yaakov, perhaps more than anyone, was able to elevate his body to the point that his body had reached the level of his soul. So now we understand, why was Yaakov the one to create Ma'ariv? What does Ma'ariv correspond to? Tfilos keneged tmidin tiknum. The tfilos correspond to what? To the various karbanos, the karban tamid. Tfilas shachar, tfilas mincha, keneged zrikas dama tmidin. Shachris is tamid shel shachar. Mincha is tamid shel ben arba'im. What's ma'ariv? What happens on the mizbeach overnight? Tefillah se'ariv keneged ha'ivarim v'apedarim shayim is achlin v'hochin kol alayla. Ma'ariv corresponds to the fats and the limbs that are what? That are not the essential part of the animal. It's not the dam, the sprinkling of the blood, ki adam hu ha'nefesh. Of course that goes on the mizbeach. Yaakovin was mechadish that what? That even the ivarim v'apedarim, the fatty parts of a person, the limbs, that seem to have no independent chiyas, can also be filled with iskashras to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'nei adam hu ha'nefesh, v'tavo ha'nefesh, v'chaber al nefesh. That's not a chiddush. V'ikra kapara hi bedam. Alkein hu kapara al ha'nefesh levad. V'evarim hu pedarim ein ikra kapara tuli behem. You don't have to burn the fats in the limbs to get kapara. Once you sprinkle the blood, you've received kapara. U'memeila gufo shel adam. So therefore, a person's body, right, is not the main mode of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So until Yaakov came along and taught how a person could work in Beis Lavan, a person could work in Beis Lavan for 20 years, a lot of the avoda of the guf, and yet every bit of it, and someone stopped me as I was leaving Shachris this morning. They said, "What's with all the strange things with Yaakov Avinu?" I said, "The truth is, if you really want to see what they're about, it's all in Kisvei Arizal. The Arizal's understanding of the whole Bria, of the Shviras HaKelim, of the Olam Ato and the Olam HaTikun, the whole thing is Yaakov playing around with sheep, right? That's like the deepest things in the Torah. You can barely understand the why Hashem is telling us these things. So therefore, Yaakov Avinu was mechadish that a person could pretend to play with sheep." And really be doing very big things. right? Really be doing things in the higher spheres. So Yaakov had the chiddush of Ma'ariv, that Olam Hazeh can also be elevated. That the guf can also come alecha b'sari. Aval Yaakov sheheles a guf l'madregas ha'nefesh. Tikein tfilas ha'erev. Shegam a guf tia lo kapara kamo ha'nefesh. That the body can have a longing for kirvas elokim like the soul. And Shem Yishmuel goes on and he develops this idea in many places. Let's just take a look. Take a little tour of Shem Yishmuel. See a few places where he expands on this idea. In Parshas Kisavo, Tafresh Ayin on page 2. Okay, on the left hand side by the arrow. V'Yaakov tikein tfilas arvis. Why? Because Yaakov was perfected in his guf. And again, Ma'ariv corresponds to the Evarim u'Pedarim, the part that you would say is not essential to the Mizbeach. Yaakov taught that they could also have a kesher to the Mizbeach. What? Where do we see such a thing? Ki hu kidesh od yoser shagam maguf yis kadesh v'lo ra'atipas keri meyamav. We know that Yaakov Avinu had perfected his guf to such a degree, his body was so spiritually refined that he never lost a drop of zera in his life. That's why when Reuven, right, when Reuven is born, Reuven is described by Yaakov Avinu in the Brachos as Rachis Oni, the first of my strength, the first drop of zera to ever leave his body. V'zesh shehikriv shalomim shalomatzinu rak b'Yaakov. So now Shem Yishmuel adds another point. That what? That we see that Yaakov is the first one, unlike Avraham and Yitzchak, to bring shlamim, to bring a carbon shlamim. What's a carbon shlamim? He says, it's a typo here, it says Bereishis Mem, it's Mem Vav. In Bereishis Mem Vav, Pasuk says, Vayizbach zvachim lelohei aviv Yitzchak. The shlamim nikra'im mishum sheyesh b'am shalom levizbeach v'lakohanim ulebalim. Rashi tells us in Vayikra, a carbon shlamim has a certain shlemus to it, in the sense that what? It's not all on the Mizbeach. It's not only being eaten by Hashem, it's being eaten by a Basar V'dam. It means it's possible for a person to achieve holy level eating, spiritual eating. That it's for the Mizbeach, it's for the Kohanim, it's for the Baalim, it's for the owner himself. Not just the Kohanim who are elevated human beings, regular people have the ability to eat in a way that's Kadosh. V'nikra, and therefore Yaakov Avinu is called what? This wholesomeness of Yaakov makes him the Ish Tam Yoshev Olam. He's an ish tam, he's a complete person. Tam, hu gam mitzad haguf. V'nemar titein emes l'Yaakov. What does emes mean? Emes is very wholesome. Emes is complete. Emes is able to take in the whole picture. V'advarim atikin. Shem Yishmuel doesn't really talk that way, but he says, I'm being merambe to deep things here. How this midah of tam, this midah of emes, is merambe to this idea. V'lakach nivchon v'nitzarif eitz alavon. And therefore, again, where does Yaakov get the training? Where does Yaakov become such a person to become an Ish Emes? In a place of a person who talks a very spiritual talk, but he's a big faker. By Lavan ha'arami, Lavan nikra arami, sherima ba'anche makomo, Lavan, who talks a big game, v'uramai, right? In truth, he's a trickster. V'anche ha'makom ramayim, top of page 3. Like it says in the Medrash, a place of deceivers, of liars, of people who seem to be very sensitive and very spiritually inclined, but are in fact a bunch of charlatans, right? And in that place, Yaakov becomes an Ish Emes. V'zehepech midas t'mimus ve'emes. The lie and the trickery of Lavan is the opposite of Yaakov Avinu. So that's where Yaakov refines his mita. V'alkein tikein tfilas arvis, she k'neged evarim u'pedarim. The arvis he af shehu becheshchus, ve'inu meir lo aseichel. He adds another nekud here. He says, arvis dafka is the tefillah that we daven at night, at a time when there seems to be no illumination. Illumination, obviously, being merames to spiritual illumination. And yet, dafka at the time, Yaakov says, I can find Hashem here. I can bring a Kodesh Baruch Hu out in the Evarim Upadarim, in the Arvis, in the darkness, in the base Lavan, in a place of Ramayim. I can find Tmimus and Emes. Ve'eino meir lo aseichel. And yet, in such a place, gam kin yivato kochos of v'nimshach la'Hashem Yisbarach. U'kineged Evarim Upadarim shem chelkei haguf sheva karban. Where do we see, what happens when a person elevates his guf to the level of the Shem? What happens? When a person has leveled the playing field, and now my guf is in tune with my neshama, and there's no longer, like I described, that debate in the Masechah Sanhedrin, where the guf says the neshama's fault, and the neshama says the guf's fault. When there's this shalom, when there's this harmony, when there's this tmimus, when there's this midah emes that's achieved, blending together the neshama and the guf, then the body on its own has an intuition for what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. The same with the neshama, tzamalacha nafshi is very natural. So kamalacha basari becomes very natural. that the body knows what it is that Hashem wants. We spend so much of the time fighting against our body, trying to tell our body, stop doing that. It's not what Hashem wants. It's not what Hashem wants. But if a person could elevate his body to the level of the neshama, and again, this is a very high level, then it's possible for the body to infer on its own and have an intuition for the Ratzon Hashem. Where do you see this by Yaakov Avinu? So the Shem Yishmuel writes in Parshas Vayechi on page 4. It's time for Yaakov to give a bracha to his grandchildren. And Yosef, of course, places Menashe by the right-hand side, Ephraim, the younger son, on the left-hand side, and Yaakov crosses his hands. He maneuvers his hands. Sikel es yodav ki Menashe bechor. Yaakov rearranged his hands. Right? What does it mean, sikel es yodav? The Targum says, achkuminon liyodoi. There was a chachma to his hands. What does it mean there was a chachma in his hands? V'yesh lefarish. Shehichnis ha-chachma gam be'evari ha-yadayim. V'lo sh'amach levad hiskil. See, most of the time when we want our body to do something, we have to think, what do I want my body to do? I tell my body it needs to do something, and then my body does it. To be able to elevate my hands to the point that my hands are able to think independently, and to know what Hashem wants, that's a very high level. And he says that's what Ibn Ezra is alluding to when Ibn Ezra says on these words, Sikel es yadav, ki ilu yadav hiskilu mashu rotzelasos. It wasn't that they didn't have to transmit a message from the neshama or from the brain down to the body, to the yadayim. The yadayim had their own chachma. They were able to infer, what would Hashem want me to do with my hands at this moment? It's kavaldik. Uladaiti hu ki inyan shenemar uvetzvunos kapav yancheim. With the tvuna, with the wisdom, with the insight of the hands, yancheim, he led them. To be able to be guided by one's hands. That I don't have to make a cheshbon with my neshama telling my guf what to do. But there's an automatic desire of the body to do what it's supposed to do. That's a very lofty level. And that's what Yaakov achieved here. Like it says in the Sefer Kol Simcha, of Simcha Bunim, of Prishis Chazatzal, Tichitzat V'Kodesh L'Vracha, Ahod Dichsiv V'Melechas HaMishkan, what does it say about the Melechas HaMishkan? Asher Nosan Hashem Chochma U'Tvuna Bahema, which Chazal Darshan Afilu Behemos. It doesn't just mean that the behemos played a role in the Binyan HaMishkan. It means the Nefesh HaBahamis of a person was able to play a role in the Binyan HaMishkan. That means there was a certain recognition, again, of the guf of what to do. Uperishu Zav, Simcha Bunim explained, Sha'afilu chelek ha-bahamil sheba'odam. Even the part of a person, which again is naturally inclined to Olam Hazeh, was able to be drawn towards Elukus by the Mishkan. V'chein perashu makam acher, says Shem Yishmuel, I've explained elsewhere, this is what we say, in Eish Yisrael, v'tas, v'chefes kapeha, that again, there was a certain insight of the hands to operate on their own. So we see that Yaakov Avinu, again, had perfected this midah of being able to have an intuition for mitzvos. Who else had this? Says the Shem Yishmuel, David Melech had this. V'hu ki'inyan shen amar David Melech al v'shalom. Chishavti derachai, v'ashiva raglai alidosecha. I plotted out where I want to go, and yet my feet led me to your mitzvos. Says the Medrash, "Bechol yom ani mechashiv l'makom ploni ulbeis dira plonis ani olich." David Melech says, "I would think that maybe I should go to an important meeting of the world leaders to discuss politics, and yet every time, hayiraglai meviososi labatek nesis about the midrashos, my feet, my body would literally drag me to spiritual things." Every time I thought I was going to go involve myself in a mundane matter, my body would take me to something spiritual. So says Shem Yishmuel, exactly. Because David Melech was so in tune with Ratzon Hashem, his body knew where to go. V'zo ha'isim yidaso she'yakov yinu al v'shalom. She'gufo shav liyo sichli. V'gam gufo hischil lahaktim es Ephraim. Yaakov's body told him that even though maybe intellectually, rationally, it made sense. If Menashe is the Bechor, he should get the Bracha. His body told him, no, cross your hands. His body had a seichel. They knew what to do. V'hayinu taim, and again he concludes, that's the reason that Yaakov was metaki in Tfilas Arvis. She keneged evarim upedarim. She ikar akarban hu adam, ki adam hu anefesh. Again, some of the chanapshi is no chiddush. V'ayvarim v'apedarim heil umas hagufa adam. V'hu al v'shalom heles haguf l'madregas hanefesh. And Yaakov Avinu was the one who came up with the chiddush of elevating the guf to the level of the nefesh. Top of page 5. Okay, that's low high of a varm of the darm, nami ikra, carbon, kamo adam. V'tikein tefilas arvus kenegdan. U'mehai taima betzinu ba'a rishon shikrav shlamim, like we said earlier. Because normally B'nai Noach can't bring shlamim because, again, to eat, to be zbeach to eat, who am I to eat? U'vezei yesh lafarish, and look what he concludes here, beautiful. We know that Shabbos is referred to in the Sfarim as Yom HaDinishmasa. What does it mean Shabbos is Yom HaDinishmasa? If Shabbos is Yom HaDinishmasa, so why am I eating fancier meals on Shabbos and sleeping more and engaging the guf more on Shabbos than I am during the entire week? What's the pshat in that, if it's Yom HaDinishmasa? So he says, we can understand now, the Zohar refers to Shabbos, by Zohar Kaddish refers to Shabbos as Yom HaDinishmasa. Afshiyesh neshamba adam gam b'meyachol. What do you mean? We have a neshama during the week. And again, if anything, I'm engaging the body more than the neshama on Shabbos on some level. Hayu de Shabbos hu nachlas Yaakov. Ukamosha Yaakov hayegam guful madregas neshama. Just like Yaakov had this chiddush that the guf can eat a bullet shulin and it can be a spiritual encounter with the Rabbono Sholem. So too, Shabbos is Yom HaDinishmasa. Hayu de gam guf tzarach lios madregas neshama. Valkein achilas Shabbos hi kodesh ve'ena migashemes kedisa b'shem Arizal. And therefore, when a person eats on Shabbos, it doesn't make a person more gashmi. Right? Not like the urban legend that anything you eat on Shabbos, you don't gain weight, right? Yeah. People who are dieting would like to imagine that to be true. It's not what the Arizal is talking about. The Arizal said it's not going to cause hakshama on the level of the spirit. Your neshama is not going to be drawn down the same way if a person sits during the Emos Achol and continuously engages the body. It does have a negative impact on the neshama, but on Shabbos the guf is elevated. On Shabbos the person takes a nap and it's an elevated thing. It's part of Shabbos. The person eats a little more on Shabbos. The person engages the guf a little more on Shabbos. It's all part of Shabbos, and it fits in as the neshama and the guf are aligned on Shabbos Kodesh. So let me show you a beautiful remez to this idea, and then we'll expand it to some other tzaddikim who live this way as well. But again, it seems like Yaakov Avinu was the one who, in many ways, even though he's not the first to live this way, he was the one who really solidified this. He was tikkun tefilas arvus. By the way, however, we know arvus today, we have an obligation to daven ma'arv, right? But there's a discussion that maybe tefilas arvus is rishus. So think about that also in this context. What does rishus? Rishus means I'm able to take things that are rishus, that which is mundane, right, and I'm able to make it into a holy thing. Tefilas arvus is rishus. Eating hamburgers is rishus. Devar rishus. But again, if I'm a Yaakov Avinu type of person, I can take a devar rishus and make it into a chova. I can make it into something meaningful. One of the great tzaddikim, whose writings are really awesome, and you should get this sefer if you don't have it. It's not even going to take you. You're not going to find it in a Sfarim store because it just doesn't exist in Sfarim stores. But you can print it off online. It's not a long sefer, and it's super kedai to have. The sefer is called the Ohel Shem, Rav Shem Klingberg. Hashem Yimkom Damo, page 6. Klingberg. Rav Shem Klingberg. Okay, amazing Torahs. It's just a few little things that were written down. He was killed by the Nazis. Yimach Shemam. And much of his writings were lost. But a little bit we have, called Ohel Shem. So he has here in Parshas B'Shalach a beautiful remez, which I think brings out exactly this yesod of the Shem Yishmuel. He says, we know that Yaakov, right, the bottom right hand corner on page 6, Yaakov comes back from Beis Lavan, and he says to Esav, you should just know, right, Im Lavan Garti V'Tarig Mitzvot Shamarti. Everyone knows the Rashi. So he says an amazing thing. Again, think about what Beis Lavan is. In Beis Lavan, Tarag Mitzvot Shamarti? Beis Lavan was tell me in Shem Ve'Ever Tarag Mitzvot Shamarti. Tell me those years of non-stop learning where you didn't even put your head on a pillow. That, okay. But Beis Lavan, Tarag Mitzvot Shamarti? So he says a beautiful remez. He says, 4 lines from the bottom, Shekein haramach mitzvot aseh heima k'neged haramach evar. We know the 248 limbs of the body correspond to the 248 mitzvot aseh. V'ashesah lo saseh k'neged ashesah gidim. And the 365 lo saseh correspond to the 365 primary sinews that hold together the body, that tie together the various parts of the body. Pasuk says, in Vayishlach, Lamed Gimel Yudches, Vayavo Yaakov Shalem. Yaakov goes and he battles Sarashal Esav. But in the end, the Torah emphasizes, even though he was limping, even though it looks like his body was pugum, in the end his body had a tikkun. Chazal understand, Vayavo Yaakov Shalem, that he was healed. Okay, we still don't eat the Giranasha. It's a fascinating question in the future, Lasid Lavo. Are we going to eat the Giranasha? There's a tshuva from Rav Shlomo of Vilna. He has a tshuva about that. Will it change over in the future? The same way that Yaakov was limping and then he came to Shalem. So Lasse Lava, are we going to be transformed in that way also? It's machlokas between Rav Shlomo of Vilna and maybe the Ben Ish Chai has a piece on that as well. But you see in the end, Yaakov's body is intact. His whole guf is intact. So says Rav Shem Klingberg, look at this beautiful Rambam. He has beautiful Ramazan. He says, Shalim Begufo, right? Like Rashi says, Shalim Bemamono, Shalim Begufo. So says Rav Shem Klingberg, top of the left column, he's Shalim Beshleimus Haramach Evarim, Ushisagidim. And therefore, Yaakov Ishtam, as we saw from Shem Yishmuel, that Midav Tmimus and Emes is expressed by this Shleimus of being able to take the whole body and to use every bit of it properly. He says, Yaakov Ishtam is Gematria 933, which is the Gematria of Ramach Evarim, plus Shesagidim, 933. Vayidea Tayag Mitzvah, Sheshamar Nishmar Kol Gufo Sheva Shleimus. It's Meredek. Amazing Remes. The Yaakov is the Ish Tam. That means every fiber of his body, every limb of his body, every sinew of his body, every bit of his body, the Ivarim Upidarim, that burn in the darkness of the night, where it seems to be, again, no chiyus, no illumination. Yaakov's Mechadish, that the Guf could also be, the guf can also be added to the neshama to make something which is even more shalom. Le'yavo Yaakov shalim, shalim begufo. And she saw Gidim and the Ramach Evarim made him into the Yaakov Ishtam. Okay? Who else lived this way? We saw a little bit David HaMelech lived this way. We saw the famous Medrash, he quoted for us, the Medrash in Bechukosai. But who else lived this way? Adam HaRishon, obviously on some level, Kodem Achei, was supposed to live this way. Right? Avram Avinu, we'll see, lived this way. And David HaMelech as well, we're going to develop further and live this way. Let's take a look at Hashem Yishmuel in Bereishis on page 7. Very interesting. He quotes from his grandfather, the Kotzker. Right? The Kotzker was the grandfather of Hashem Yishmuel. Yes? How is the Kotzker the grandfather of Hashem Yishmuel? Who's Hashem Yishmuel's father? Avnezer. And Avnezer was a son-in-law of the Kotzker. Right? So that means Hashem Yishmuel's grandfather was the Kotzker. So he quotes his grandfather, the Kotzker, in Bereishis, explaining the pasuk in Parshas Bereishis. Hashem's very worried that what? Hashem is concerned that maybe Adam HaRishon is going to take from that which he should not take. He's going to eat from the Eitz HaChayim. But the language the Torah uses in Parak Gimel of Bereishis to describe taking from the Eitz HaChayim is a very funny lashon. He says on the right hand side, page 7, Uvezeh yuvan lashon ha-kosuf va'ata pen yishlach yado. Hashem says, I'm nervous that Adam HaRishon is going to do what? Yishlach Yadu, he's going to send out his hand to take from the Eitz HaChayim. Says the Shem Yishmuel, really the Kotzker's question, what does it mean? Yishlach Yadu, he's going to send out his hand. What do you mean send out your hand? Ma'u lashon shlichus yad. Havi leila meimar, could have just said b'kitzur, pen yochal me'Eitz HaChayim. Maybe he's going to less to eat from the tree of life. What do you mean? Pen yishlach Yadu, he's going to stretch out his hand. So he quotes the Kotzker in explaining where else we find this Lashon. We find it by Avram Avinu. We find it by Avram by Akedas Yitzchak. What does it say by Akedas Yitzchak? It says that Avram also stretched out his hand to take the knife. Yishlach yodo v'yikachas ma'achelis. What do you mean by Yishlach yodo? He sent out his hand. So if we were just learning Pashut Pshat, you would say, even though Avram wants to do what he has to do, he wants to do Akedas Yitzchak, but it's hard for him. And therefore, he has to fight against his body to send out his hand. Right? That Avram is struggling in this final moment as he's about to kill his beloved son. It's hard for him. And there's something very human about that and very holy about that. But in Pimius, Avram, of course, wants to... He was doing things bizarizos. Why is he struggling all of a sudden to pick up the knife to Shecht Yitzchak? So says the Kotzker, and he wasn't the first one to say this, as we'll see. Or Chaim HaKadosh talks about this. No, if Yisrael will see, talks about it as well. Vayishlach yado v'yikachas ma'achelis. Ki evarav shel Avram Avinu hayin nimshachin behatzman l'dvar mitzvah. Avram, again, maybe Yaakov was the one who solidified this to make it shayach for all of Klal Yisrael. But Avram already had this midah of what? Of his body knowing the Dvar Hashem. Of knowing how to act on behalf of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And he quotes again the Medrash by David HaMelech, how David HaMelech's raglayim would take him to where they would take him. About halfway down, v'kosav b'imre yosher, first one of the lines, v'kosav b'imre yosher, ha'perish afilu b'li kavanu b'li machshava. Right? That David HaMelech's feet would take him. What does it mean, his feet? V'dayek b'milas raglai hakelim levad. The feet are literally the thing that just gets us around, like the car, right? Of a person, the thing that just gets him around is his feet. It's not particularly connected to the chiyus of a person. And yet David's feet, dafka, were guiding him. That's even stronger than saying my hands were able to operate on their own. Sikel es yadav. My feet were controlling. That's kavaldik. That's a very, very high level. That the feet should be able to infer on their own to do the ratzon Hashem. And therefore what? V'lo hayashayach lashon shlichas yad b'davar mitzvah. V'avim avinu olav ha-shalom. Ki evar v'atzman hayin nimshachan lezeh. Af b'li kavana. So for Avram to have to send forth his hand is very strange. His hand always knows what Hashem wants. Says the Kuss here, why is Avram struggling to pick up the knife? You know why? Because his body already knows, before his brain even knows it, his body is so in tune with Devar Hashem, the Ratzon Hashem, that before he even hears the Malach say, don't kill him, his body knows that Hashem is about to say, don't kill him. So his body is not letting him pick up the knife. Because his body has an intuition to recognize that Hashem is about to cancel Akedas Yitzchak. Ach ba'Akedas Yitzchak be'emes lo haisa mitzvah l'shochto. There's not going to be a mitzvah to shechtim in the end. V'lachein hu tzrich l'shlichas yad she'achriach es yado. And therefore Avram is fighting against his body. Because he knows, I heard the Dvar Hashem told me to take the knife and shecht Yitzchak. But his body is putting up a fight because his body is so in tune with the higher Ratzon of Hashem that's about to cancel Akedas Yitzchak. So Avram's struggling to pick up the knife. So too, when the Torah tells us in Bereishis Paragimel, lest Adam Rishon send forth his hand to take from the Yitz HaChayim, it's the same thing. Lera. It's not natural to go against the Dvar Hashem. It was natural to not take from the Yitz HaChayim, right? But maybe the Satan, maybe the Yitz Hara, maybe the Nachash is going to come and convince him to what? To go against his Netiya, his natural intuition to do what's right, and pen Yishlach Yadav. Maybe he'll fight against the body which is in tune with Ratzon Hashem and take Chas V'Shalom from the Eitz Hadas. That's what he says here. V'zeh she'amar kan pen Yishlach Yadav. Du mitzad atzmo lo haya rotzu b'zeh. His body wouldn't want to take from Eitz HaChaim. Hashem doesn't want that. V'lo ha'isa yadav nimshechas l'dvar yisr. El ha'shayim muchvachim kein nikra shapir shlichas yad. So therefore for Adam to do what's wrong was a shlichas yad. The same way for Avram to try to take the knife required a shlichas yad. It was very unnatural. And he elaborates on this again very clearly on page 8 in his writings on Shavuos. Okay? Let's go to page 9 and flesh out some of these characters. David HaMelech, we said. David HaMelech's feet knew how to do automatically what they were supposed to do. The Vilna Gaon has an amazing explanation of the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Gimel to show you how David HaMelech, again, was a human instrument of the Divine. The Avos are called the Merkava L'Shechina. That means everywhere they traveled, every move they made was a fulfillment of Ratzon Hashem. David HaMelech, so to speak, the Ne'im Zmiros Yisrael, the sweet singer of Klal Yisrael, was an instrument for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do I mean by he was an instrument? Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter, in his writings on Chanukah, quotes a Gra. He says, the Gra explained the Gemara, the Chazal, and Brachos Gimel Amud Beis. Kinur Hayatolei Lamal Mitasel Shel David HaMelech. There was a harp that was hanging over David Melech's bed, and whenever Chatzos would arrive, all of a sudden the instrument would start to play. The wind would blow and the instrument would start to play. Says the Gra, you know what the harp was? There was no harp hanging over David Melech's bed. David Melech was the kinnor. David Melech was the kinnor. Umavara Gra. David HaMelech hayinirda mitok dveikas atzum v'Hashem yisbach. David HaMelech, his goof, was elevated. When he slept, that was a fulfillment of Dvar Hashem, Ratzon Hashem. And that meant that when it was Chatzos came, right, his internal spiritual alarm clock went off and started to sing. Ad shekasher higia zman Chatzos. Look what he says here, it's a wild groth. Hischil piv lashir me'atvo shirim niflam l'Hashem yisbach. Whenever Chatzos, David HaMelech didn't have to go onto myzmanim.com to find out what time Chatzos was so he could sing to Hashem. The second Chatzos came, David HaMelech could be resting in bed. Because even tzaddikim have to rest. And again, if you're sleeping, the Rizal said he accomplished more in Torah in his sleep than he did when he was awake. Because of that, his Hispasha Sagashmi, he was able to achieve even higher levels. So David HaMelech was sleeping. Mitoch Dveikus, says the girl. And when midnight would come, when Chatzos HaLayla would come, all of a sudden, the kinor would start to play. David HaMelech's lips would start to move. They would start to sing. Yeah? U'me'ashir sheshar piv levad ha'yim esorer. And it wasn't an alarm clock that went off to wake up David HaMelech. His own body woke him up. His own lips that started to sing, even when he was asleep, woke him up. Lefisha piv hayakinor lashem yisvarach. Because his lips were in fact a harp for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The only question I have on this is that it says that the kinor was toloi lemalim mitasal shel David. That means if his lips are above him, that means he's sleeping on his back. The halacha says you're not supposed to sleep on your back. So tzarachin ktsa. What's the pshat? David Melech seems like his lips are on top. The kinor is lemala. Okay, not such a shayla. V'chein yeh la'asid lavo, and that's the way it's going to be la'asid lavo. That again, when the sun and the moon, so to speak, when the light of the sun and the moon are restored to be realigned, and when the whole world, the neshama and the guf, is realigned, right? La'asid lavo, one's body is naturally going to know what to do in approaching the divine. Shemei rov ziv ha'shchina yotza mi'atzma ha'shir la'ashem yisparach. V'sham la'ashir shir chadash. It's not going to be a bunch of Jews sitting together. What song should we write for Hashem? The same way that by Kriyas Yamsu, Oz Yashir, everyone knew to just start singing. They hadn't practiced. They hadn't practiced the words or the tune. They knew automatically. Everyone knew what to do. Why? We're in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zekei Levan Veyu. Aron Batzpa. So when you're in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way that David HaMelech was, your body naturally sings to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shedavar zeh yehatanu gagadol biyoser lezamer la'ashem yisparach. Because the greatest pleasure, being nana miziv hashchina, means I sit in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, whatever that means, kiviyachol, and I sing to the Rabbono Shel Olam. So you see that again. Adam HaRishon had a natural ability to do what's right, and to take from the tree would go against his guf. And Avram Avinu had a natural ability to know what Hashem wanted. And Yaakov Avinu had a natural ability to know what Hashem wanted. And David HaMelech had a natural ability to know what Hashem wanted. Let's talk about Avram. We just worked a little deeper into David Melech. Let's come back to Avram Avinu now on page 10. This actually answers a very interesting question about Avram Avinu. Many, many Mefarshim, Kadmonim already asked, why didn't Avram give himself a bris mila before HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded him? Avram Avinu, we know, kept Kol HaTorah Kula prior to Kabbalah HaTorah. That's a Gemara two places in Shas, in Yom HaChavches Amud Beis, and in Kedushin Pei Beis Amud Aleph, the last daf of Meseches Kedushin. So says the Oy of Yisrael in the back of the Sefer, in the Lekutim Chadashim, to Parshas Lech Lecha. Ma shehikshu akadmonim, mipnei malu mal Avram Avinu olav ha-shalom, es atzmo terem shenitztav mipi ha-gvura. Why didn't Avram give him himself a bris mila? Why did he wait for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to command him? And there's a lot of answers in Svarim. There's a lot of answers to this question. But the reason the question is a significant question is because he did everything else. So why didn't he give himself bris mila? He figured out everything else that Hashem wanted from him. Why didn't he figure this out? Halo Amru Chazal, the Gemara says, in Yom HaChavches Amud Beis, in Kedushin, Pei Beis Amud Aleph, Shekiyim Avram Avinu as Kol Mitzvah Satorah, Afilu Dikduke Sofrim, he figured out the Rabbanans. So why didn't Avram Avinu figure this one out? If Cain madua lo asa mitzvah zos ba'atzmo before HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded him. So he says like this. He said, how did Avram know what to do? How did Avram figure out any of those things? How did he figure out any of the mitzvahs? He figured it out by what? By refining his guf to the point that his body was able to infer the Dvar Hashem. So says the Oy of Yisrael, let's read where it's underlined. Ki Avram Avinu me'oz hikir asabori baruchu uvruch shemo shibeid nafsho veruchu v'neshmaso la'avodasi yisbaruch shemo shelo la'asos shum t'nua kala be'echer me'var v'lanos atzo. Avram did not move a single body part for his own benefit, for his own pleasure. He made every move for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how some of the Svarim, by the way, explain Lech Lecha. Avram is told Lech Lecha. What does Rashi say? Lech Lecha, La'anascha, L'tovascha. So the Mefarshim says, so then what's the Nisayon? What's the Nisayon? Hashem says, it's going to be great for you if you go. Doesn't that take away the Nisayon? What's the answer? Chazusar Magid, about Israel has this, Darchei Musar, Rav Yaakov Naiman has this also. That's exactly the Nisayon. Am I going to go because I'm doing Ratzon Hashem, or am I going for the perks? Hashem said, it's going to be great for you. Avram said, no, I'm not interested if it's great for me. If Hashem says, my body is supposed to travel to Eretz Yisrael, my body goes to Eretz Yisrael. I don't need to be told about the advantages of going to Eretz Yisrael. That was the Nisayon, to do it, Kasher Tziva Hashem. What?
You don't need to be told about the chore.
You just go.
Rav Joshua, you just go.
So Avram didn't make a single move of his body, right, for his own benefit. It was all for a nachas ruach of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, what? When you start to live for the Ribono Shel Olam and your body becomes refined, that every move you make is an expression of a Ratzon Hashem, you become a Merkava L'Shechina, and every single limb knows exactly what Hashem wants. But look what he says. Look what he says where it's underlined. La'idei kol aver ve'aver, it reveals the shorish of that mitzvah, and that body part guides the person to the Ratzon Hashem. And therefore, think about it, Chevra, what's going to be the one limb that's not going to work? Bris Mila, you know why? Why didn't it work? Why couldn't he figure out Bris Mila? It's very stubborn what he said. Why couldn't he figure out Bris Mila? Why wasn't it aligned? Because that's the whole point. The limb itself, covered in the Arla, is not yet mitukan, and therefore the limb can't tell him the mitzvah that corresponds to that body part. Here? He could only infer mitzvah mila from a bris mila that was perfected, but the bris mila is the body part that's created imperfected. So at that point, he couldn't figure out bris mila. After he cuts off the arla, and then he sees, now I understand the mitzvah bris mila. And then he goes on and he quotes the same idea by Avraham Avinu again, by the stretching forth of his hand to grab the knife. But again, you see that when Avram comes to Mila and his name becomes Avraham, what's the gematria of the name Avraham? 248. Now all of his limbs, are aligned. He couldn't be Avraham before that. He was only Avram. Why he gets hay, as opposed to maybe he's missing one mitzvah. Why does he get five mitzvahs, so to speak, or a hay that adds five kochos to his name? But the point is, he couldn't perfect his body until what? Until he had bris mila. And he couldn't figure out bris mila because the bris mila itself was blocked by the arla. And this answers one other question about Avram and his bris mila. Vayera lav Hashem be'elon e'mamre. What does Rashi say? Why did Hashem appear to Avram in the territory of Mamre? Rashi says because Mamre gave him advice about bris mila. Mamre gave him advice about bris mila. Avram had a shaila about bris mila. Hashem told him to give himself a bris mila. Why did he need to seek advice? So again, many, many creative answers. What it was that allowed that caused Avram to seek the counsel of Mamre. Right? Well, he was thinking about not doing it. Hashem told him to give himself a bris mila, and he was debating whether he should do it or not. Many answers of what Mamre's advice was and why Avram sought his advice. But in the Sefer Otsva Sadiki Ugaoni Adoros, it quotes from the Rebbe of Buash, who is a grandson, an einikol of the Rishner. So for the Rishners in the room, this is your mishpucha. Came up with this answer. No, so what's the pshat? So he takes the basic starting point of the Ohev Yisrael, that what? That it's hard to figure out the mitzvah if the arla is covering over this mitzvah. So what was he asking Mamre? And again, I'm not so clear on the answer, but let's read it inside together on page 12, where he gives the answer. He says where it's underlined, Ach mitzvah smila, kevan sha'ever od nitzrach tikun, lo yachal ahasik, a mitzvah shekinagdo. Again, the Rebbe of Buash starts off with the assumption of the Ohev Yisrael, that because that limb was covered over, he couldn't figure out what the mitzvah is. But here's why he needed Mamre's advice. And again, I'm not 100% clear on the answer, let's read it together. Three lines from the end. We know that there are four types of arla. The body has arla in four places. Halev, there's an arlas halev, there's an arlas hapeh, there's an arlas, a blockage of the oznaim, and then there's the arlas habasar by the bris mila. The cave on Sha'avram Avinu Olav Shalom, lo hasing me atzmo mitzvah smila, achash and itztava lo yadal, eza arla and itztava. Avram wasn't able to figure out, to look at himself and figure out, which arla am I supposed to remove? Now why? Meaning, shouldn't Avram be able to recognize, when it was Hashem commands him, which arla is being referred to? So he went to ask Mamre, his chaver, for advice. What was the advice? V'heshivlo, da'akavana hiya arla sabasar. Mamre says to him, if God's telling you to work on removing the arla, it must be we're talking about bris mila. Why? The Mamre yada shashar arlos Avram Avinu Olav Shalom Tiket. Because Mamre was able to look at Avram and say, you don't have a problem of arla saliv, you don't have a problem of arla sapeh, you don't have a problem of arla saznaim. So the arla Again, why Avram? The part I don't understand why Avram himself couldn't make that cheshbon and figure out that the one arla that I have yet to be mitakin is the arla zavasar. Maybe in his humility, he wasn't ready to accept that he's perfected his heart and his mouth and his ears. But either way, he went to ask Mamre, which arla is Hashem talking about? And again, the reason that Avram couldn't figure this out on his own was simply because there was a blockage of his own body to infer the Ratzon Hashem. Okay, so again, we see Avram has this midah of aligning his neshama with his body. Who else has this midah? We've seen Adam Rishon, we've seen Avram, we've seen Yaakov, we've seen David, Moshe Rabbeinu. We said that Avram is Gematria 248. We said that Yaakov Ishtam, the Ohel Hashem told us, is Gematria Ramach Evarim Mishasal Gidim. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Sfarim say, the Gematria of Moshe Rabbeinu is 613. Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe is 345. Rabbeinu is 268. Moshe Rabbeinu is 613. Which means that Moshe Rabbeinu's whole mahus also has the ability to what? To keep the guf on the level of the neshama. Where do we find this in Sfarim? We find it in a Malbim. There's an amazing Malbim at the beginning of Shemos, in Perek Beis of Shemos. Moshe Rabbeinu was born when? This yediyah is written in the Chumash and no one stops to think about it. The first point is mamash straight in the Chumash. When was Moshe born? What's Moshe's birthday? Zayin Adar. Okay, and how long was Moshe hidden for? 3 months. So that means, when was Moshe put in the basket and placed in the water? I mean, what's 3 months? 3 months later would be Zayin Sivan. Right? Zayin Sivan, the day of Kabbalah Satorah, according to one mandar. Vav Sivan, Zayin Sivan. But very interesting that Moshe, right, that Moshe is, his whole mahus is being threatened and being saved on Zayin Sivan. So says the Malbim an amazing thing. The Malbim, of course, one of the great defenders of Orthodox Judaism, one of the great defenders of the Torah Shebichtav Chsav and Torah Shebaal Peh, he says a very deep thing here. Take a look on page 13. Vatikach lo tevas gome. Moshe's mother says, Moshe Rabbeinu, from the day you were born, the house was filled with light. Your mom is a very halakhic child. Right? The Shechina is hovering over you, and even Bas Paro can see such a thing. So therefore, I'm going to put you in a wicker basket. Yeah? What's pshat in a wicker basket? Why dafka tevas goma? Look what he says. What was the kavana? How is it so fitting for Moshe lefi madregah so that he should be in a wicker basket? So Malam says beautiful. Very beautiful Lashonos here. Al derech haremes. He writes on the left hand side. Achar sheshlosha chadashim yom leidas Moshe b'zayin ba'adar nishlu b'zayin b'sivan. Now it's Moshe's big day. It's 3 months after he was born in Zayin Adar. Now it's Zayin Sivan. Yom shebo asid lalos elokim b'matan Torah. Nirmas b'teva zu inyan kolal atzmusal shal Moshe v'inyano. Moshe going into the wicker basket is so much connected to Moshe's personal experience and to Klal Yisrael's Kabbalah Sator experience, as we'll see from Kedushas Levi in a minute. Ki Adam, a person is murkav miguf nefesh. A person is a very complex mix of body and soul. Va nefesh segura bebeis kela. The nefesh, the spirit of a Jew, is being held hostage by the prison, which is the body. B'masar hagvia, right? The prison of the body. Va'achar chet Adam arishon. After the sin of Adam Rishon, this mazgu kochos haguf ema nefesh, v'lo tuchal yiparein mimeno ad yom ha-mavis. That the nefesh, so to speak, is being held in captivity over the course of the entire life of a person. It badly wants to return to Hashem, and it's being held hostage. I once saw in the writings of Rav Chaim Vital, don't ask me where because I don't know where it is, but Rav Chaim Vital said, he asked the following question, very strange question. When you murder someone, why isn't that a mitzvah? You're the biggest chesed for the neshama. He sent the neshama home. So he has such a havamina. To kill someone is the greatest chesed you could do for someone. You free the neshama from the captivity of the body. Wild idea. It's a wild idea. Okay, he obviously explains why it's not that way. But it fits with the lashonos of the Malbim here. The neshama is being held captive by the guf. And there's this terrible blend where the neshama feels tied up. It feels, right, nismazgu, it's mixed in with the guf and the nefesh. It's a very uncomfortable experience. Very, very uncomfortable experience for the neshama. Velotu, and it can't separate itself till the day of death. Ulam, look what he writes where it's underlined. Moshe hayamadre gaso kavo adam kodam achet. Moshe Rabbeinu, who even when he dies at 120, his body is perfectly intact, his eyesight is perfectly intact. Shaitza nafsho nefredes migufo, his nefesh and his guf work together, that they were able to not beat each other up, but rather he could separate, he could be on the level of nefesh, and his guf wouldn't drag him down. Moshe Rabbeinu could step outside of his body whenever he wanted. Moshe could go up the mountain, be mekabel the Torah, and not eat for 40 days and 40 nights. No chiddush. That was the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the truth is, every Jew is shayach to this. Right? There's a halach in Shulchan Aruch, when a person davens, a person should be able to attain the level of espashtus hagashmi, an out-of-body experience. If it's a halach in Shulchan Aruch, I told you in the past, it's brought in Sefer Chabad, if it's a halach in Shulchan Aruch, that means it's shayach for every Jew. So it's possible for us to achieve this. Okay, obviously it's a very high level. I remember I once read, I think they said about the Rebbe of Melech, but I'm not sure. It'll fit nicely if it was. I can't remember where I saw this. But I think they said one time one of the Talmidim of Rebbe of Melech was like hiding in his room when he came in. And he said he walked into a room, saw the Rebbe of Melech walk into the room, and he took off his body and flung it over the back of a chair like a coat, and his neshama was just roaming the room. You've heard such a thing?
Yeah.
You heard this? About the Rebbe Melech? What?
On Erev
Shabbos, he would take off. That's exactly the lashon here. He was able lahapshlit simla sachomer me'aleh b'choleis. Moshe Rabbeinu could take off his body, just yank it off and put it down on the side. Kula neshama. It makes sense. Yom with the neshmas on Shabbos. Makes sense. Okay? So says the Malbim. It's like the princess who has permission to leave the castle as she sees fit. Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama could come and go because his body wasn't an impediment to the neshama. The body and the neshama were friends. They worked well together. So look what he says here. So what's the imagery of the wicker basket? Says the Malbim. Says the Halakha Malbim. Umurgo b'fi chach mechidos laham shalas hagviya ka'aniya shabbat ta'avur ha'nefesh alukis es yam ha'chayim ha'zoif kol yamechayel. He says that those who literally chach mechidos means those who speak in riddles, but it means people who speak in a poetic fashion. Right? There's an image that's created by the darshanim, the paitanim, right? An image of the body. Like a boat, a body in this world trying to survive this crazy world is like a boat. Hi. Welcome. It's like a boat on the water trying to make one's way through the Yam HaChayim. Beautiful imagery. Hazoev kol yimei chaya. And the waves are coming crashing down on a person trying to destroy. Right? All the bilbul of this world is coming to try to overthrow the boat. The same way, you can't survive in the water unless you have something, what? Protecting you. Meaning, there's the picture of the captain, right? The captain's standing on the deck, and he's trying to steer the boat. The captain, if he was in the water, there's no way he would survive. The way he can cross the ocean is by being in this boat. So too, our neshama has to travel through this world in a boat. Our neshama is placed in a guf. And it's the job of the guf to help our neshama to survive the tumultuous experience of riding the waves of this world. The same way that, again, that the captain of the ship can't survive the waters unless he's on a boat, so too the neshama can't survive the waves of this world unless the neshama is placed on something that's made of the same material of this world, namely the body. And then the body will drive a person through this world. And that's how he survives. What was Moshe's boat made out of? A wicker basket. What's the pshat in the wicker basket? What's the idea of Moshe being placed in the basket? It's almost as if the whole Moshe with his body, it's almost as if his body could be the captain. The same way that we saw that Yaakov's body had the ability to infer the Ratzon Hashem, and David Melech's body could infer the Ratzon Hashem, and Adam and Avram could infer the Ratzon Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu's whole guf was placed in the basket. As if to say his body could be the captain of the ship. His body knew how to steer the ship as well. Not just as the Shama steering the body, but his body could be the captain of the ship. The idea of a wicker basket with its holes in it, right? The very finely and thin wicker basket, he says about 6 lines from the bottom, Ulamateva haisami gome, she is sod ha'aviri gavar ala afruri ha'kavid. A wicker basket has a lot of empty space in it, has a lot of openings in it, has a lot of cracks and crevices in it. And just to say, it's not fully solid, it's not made out of chomer. Right? There's a lot of neshama, so to speak, a lot of air space shining through the physicality of the basket. The same way that Moshe's body was illuminated, and Moshe's body was shining, radiating with the Shekhinah. So he says that's the imagery of Moshe in the wicker basket. It's Moshe Rabbeinu, his body being the captain of the ship, that his body was able to guide him through the Yam HaChayim, the Golei Ta'avosav, Kiminamayim Mishisiu. Moshe was withdrawn from the water. He was able to be above the world. Most people, again, are struggling to steer their ship through this world. That the body shouldn't cause trouble. That the boat shouldn't cause the destruction of the captain on the ship. And yet, by Moshe, that was never a problem. Okay, so what does this do for all of us? We've seen great tzaddikim live this way. It's very nice. Where do regular Jews have a shaychus to this? To be on the level that we've seen some beautiful Torah today. Right? But not so much al derech avoda. We have a deeper understanding of the Avos HaOlam, the Tzadikei Adoros. We don't have a deeper understanding necessarily of how we are able to do this on any level. So let's just end al derech avoda a little bit, on perhaps a more practical level, how we each have a shaychus to this. Okay, let's see a berditcher. Kedushas Levi by Pur, and the Kedusha Rishona by Pur. And again, he's trying to work on Avram, how Avram knew Kol HaTorah Kula, how did Avram infer all the mitzvot before the Torah was given. But he brings it down to the level of every single Jew, to show us that we have a kesher to this idea. He writes on page 14, on the right hand side, V'nira ki tzrichin lahavin ma shekadmu Yisrael asiya l'shmiya. Nasa before Nishma. What do you mean Nasa before Nishma? How does the body know how to do before it's even told what to do? That's what we've been explaining today. The possibility of the body to infer the Dvar Hashem, to recognize on its own what it is that God desires from us. Heich osen kodem sheshomen. How do you do before you hear? So he says, I'll ask a further question. He says, what does it mean when we say in the Haggadah, Ilu karvanu lifnei ar Sinai velo nasan lenu as haTorah dayinu? If we would have stood by our Sinai and not actually heard anything from God, that also would have been enough. How would that have been enough? What would we have achieved at our Sinai if Hashem never spoke to us? So he writes in the second, the bottom paragraph on the right-hand column. He quotes the Gemara in Yoma again, Chaf Chesem and Aleph, Ki Em Haya Avram Avinu Al Vashalom Kol HaTorah, Even Erev Tavshilin Ad Shalom Nitna. Avram kept every detail of the Torah before it was given. V'nei Tzrichim Lahavin, Me'ayin Yada Avram Avinu Al Vashalom HaTorah Ad Shalom Nitna. How did Avram know how to keep the Torah before it was given? So he says, it must be, Hinei Yadua, Ki armach mitzvos asay keneged armach evar maruchniyim. The 248 mitzvos correspond to the 248 spiritual limbs of man, and the 365 los asay correspond to the 365 sinews that hold together the body. So he says where it's underlined. V'amistakel beruchnias evarim shalo uveruchnias hagidin shalo. If I can recognize the spiritual quality of my physical limbs, who masig haramach, who masig masig haramach mitzvos asay v'shasam mitzvos los asay. So I infer from my body what it is that God wants from me. Ukemosha, now look what he says. He adds a nice piece here. Ukemosha evari aguf. Tzrichin lemazon hagashmi es shalo. Uledvar magashmi matzrichin lechol eiver ve'eiver. Just like my physical body needs sustenance in order to make sure that the limbs are able to be healthy and strong. Kein ha'ivarim ha'ruchniyim tzrichin lechol eiver ve'eiver lemitzvah shalo. So too every body part has a corresponding mitzvah, and it needs to be sustained, it needs to be illuminated by that particular mitzvah. This is what the Chavetz Chaim writes about in the third, Nakdamah to the third volume of Mishnah Berurah, where the Chavetz Chaim describes that, God forbid, a person who doesn't do certain mitzvahs with their body will not have those body parts in the world of truth, in the Olam HaEmes, will not have those body parts in the times of Tchiyas HaMeisim. A person who never illuminated their left arm, right, for most people, that's their weaker arm, by putting on tefillin, will not have a left arm. And the neshama will be lacking the spiritual quality of left arm. And when the body comes back to this world, the body will not have a left arm. It's a scary idea. That's why the Sefer Charedim, when he breaks down the 613 mitzvot, he breaks it down by body part. These are the mitzvot you do with your mouth. These are the mitzvot you do with your head. These are the mitzvot you do with your arms. These are the mitzvot you do with your feet. That everybody should get the spiritual sustenance that it needs. So he says,
Do you have to tell your body when it's hurting, when it's tired? Do you have to use come to an intellectual awareness that I'm hungry, or that my left arm hurts? You know it. You can feel it. So he says the same thing is true about the spiritual limbs. If a person is a spiritually inclined person, you could recognize what it is that limb needs. So Avraham Avinu, before he ever heard Hashem speak, recognized there's things that Hashem wants me to do with my left arm. And there's things that Hashem wants me to do with my speech. And there's things that Hashem wants me to do with all my body parts. He says, Kedushas Levi says, top of the left column, second line, Kein kol eivar ve'eivar haruchniyim ein tzarech lil modosam. Just like the Evarim Gashmim don't need to be taught how to be used in a Gashmius way. Amazing thing, a newborn child knows how to nurse from its mother. How does it know? How does it know how to position its mouth in such a way to suckle from its mother? How does it know that? It figures it out. It's programmed into the body. The same thing is true when it comes to using our body in a spiritual way. It's all programmed into the body. And therefore, a person who's a spiritual person can figure out the mitzvos simply by listening to what it is the body is telling it to do on a spiritual level. So he says in the bottom paragraph, so before the Torah was given, right? That's how a person came to understand mitzvos. Unfortunately, what happened? Unfortunately, now we're on a lower level. And like we said, our body and our neshama are blended together because of the chet of Adam Rishon. And therefore, it's hard for us to figure out. There are yechidei skula, like Avraham Avinu, who was able to be bigger than his body and figure it out. Most of us cannot. At our Sinai, we know that every Jew was like what? Was like Adam kodem achet. So therefore, what do we say in the Haggadah? Ilu korvarnu lifnei Har Sinai, if we would have come to Har Sinai, and Hashem wouldn't have said a word, then we would have been in the place where our body could have received the Torah, Dayenu. The body could have figured it out. The same way that Avraham Avinu figured everything out before being told. And therefore, every single one of us has a shaykhus to this. If we all stood at Har Sinai, and we all, on some level, were able to, in theory, infer the mitzvos, right, we have to believe that we have a kesher to this. And we have to choose to try to live in such a way that our body is in tune with the Ratzon Hashem. And that's really al derech avodah what we can do. We're not going to be able to figure out. We don't have to sit back. We have Baruch Hashem. We have the Sfarim to read what it is that Hashem wants from us. We don't have to sit just looking at our body trying to figure out what would Hashem want me to do with our body. But to try to be the types of people who at least recognize the body is not supposed to be a threat to my existence. The body is supposed to be a partner to the neshama. It's not supposed to be an enemy of the neshama. And unfortunately, most of us live our whole life grappling, where the body and the neshama are constantly fighting. Each one blaming the other one for all of the bad choices that a person makes. To look at my body as a partner in my service of a Kodesh Baruch Hu is a very, very chashuv thing. Let's finish up. On page 15, the Ksava Kabbalah. Interestingly, we have both a Malbim and a comment from the Ksava Kabbalah. Who's the Ksava Kabbalah? We have Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg. Okay, so we had Klingbergs today and we had Mecklenburgs. We had Malbims and we had Ksava Kabbalahs. Why do I mention those two in the same breath? Because they set out on the same mission, which was what? To stop people from reforming the Torah and from thinking the Torah was some silly book, to show how the Torah fits into the modern world, right? In a proper way, like we learned yesterday from Rav Kook. So he has an amazing, amazing comment here at the beginning of Bereishis when he explains, why is it that the Avos HaOlam were shepherds? Why is it that all the greats were shepherds? Everyone we mentioned today. Right? David Melech was a shepherd, Moshe Rabbeinu was a shepherd, the Avos were shepherds. What's the pshat in being a shepherd? He mentions it by Kayin when Kayin chooses to be Roet Son. What's the pshat? Why does a person want to be a shepherd? So he gives two explanations. They're both very chashuv. Let's look by the first arrow. He says, L'chein nira, ki Roet Son hu shem toar l'chol ish hamufrash midarche ha'amon. He says, being a shepherd is like being a breslover chassid. In what sense? In the sense that a shepherd is a term that's used, it has nothing to do with being osik and sheep. It wasn't like the Avos HaOlam had a thing for sheep. But they had a thing for being out of the noise of the big city. To go out into the field and to be alone and to have time to think and to try to be a person, right, whose body is not wowed by the lights and the sounds of the big city. He says, a shepherd is a person who is mufrash midarchei hamon, who separates from the masses, who misbodeid lalun b'makom b'sarachokim, mibnei adam. That he goes out into a place where people are not found. Balyatridu hamayon hevle masse antri teval. He gets away from the noise of the big city. Vasadehu lo makom menucha. He goes to the field where he has menucha sanefesh. Right? Vahashkit. He's peace of mind there. Kisham yimses nafsho yosur muchenes lis ower lis romim lis takel beromus Hashem bebruav aniflam. Because in such a place, he could be the type of Jew that Hashem wants him to be. He'd be the type of human being that Hashem wants him to be. He could stop, he could think, he could look at Hashem's world. He could breathe a little. He could be the type of person Hashem wants him to be. That's reason number one for being a shepherd. But there's another thing that a person could think about when you're looking at the sheep, and it's based on a medrash. And he says by the second arrow, V'yesh be'inyan, re'yason o to'eles nafshi. There's another very powerful spiritual message that we can take when we think about what a shepherd could look at. He looks at a sheep, and what does he see? You know what he sees? Kimalis nafshus. When he's looking at the sheep, hamiskachim mistarim lavodas Hashem umisrachim mikol davar apogim as a nefesh. Yamshilena, bekisve kodesh al eider rechiv. We find in Chazal that a person who wants to detach himself again from all of the negativity of this world and live a life of complete sanctity can take a lesson from what? From the sheep. The pasuk says in Shir Hashirim, Ke'eder rachelim sha'alu min harachsa, like the sheep who are coming up from the waters after bathing, shekula mat'imos, that they're all mat'im, right? Perfectly aligned, that's what we're talking about, aligning our neshama and our guf. Vishakula ein behem, and there's no mum, right? A perfect sheep. What do I see when I look at a healthy sheep, a perfect sheep? You know what I see? I don't just see an animal. The same way when I look at my body, I don't just see a body that's made from the dirt. I see every limb as an opportunity to serve Hashem. How do I see that when I look at a sheep? He quotes Rashi, and it's based on the Medrash Pirkei de Eliezer. Harechela hazos kulo kedusha. The whole sheep, every bit of the sheep can be used for a davar kadosh, even though it's just a simple animal. I can take its wool and I can make tcheles. I can make tzitzis with it. Bisara, I can take its flesh and make a carbon out of it. I can take its horns, right? I can make shofros out of it. I can take its thighs and I can take those bones and I can carve them out to make a chalil, to play songs, miros to Kadosh Baruch Hu. I can take its innards and I can use its sinews to fashion strings of a harp. I can take its skin and I can use it to make drums, again, to sing songs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what do you see? He says where it's underlined. Hine eider harachelim hu le'ene haroa maskeres gedola la'asnagus nafsha. When I look at this sheep, I say, wow, this sheep is just a simple animal, but every bit of it could be used to serve Hashem. And I look at my own body, which could be as lowly as a sheep, could be a simple animalistic part of myself, and I say, you know what, I'm going to use it to serve Hashem. Yilmun mimenu shelo ye'odem nofel lematim nebehema. I'm not going to be less than this animal. I'm going to find a way to sanctify my limbs. And sometimes you have to really talk to your body. I mentioned to someone yesterday, when a person is struggling, when your body is giving you trouble, Rabbi Nachman says, talk to your Evarim. Tell your body. That's not what we're meant to do. That's not how you're meant to serve Hashem. That's not how your hands are meant to be used, not how my legs are meant to be used, not how my heart's meant to be used. To stop and think, this is a davar kadosh. And my Ramach Evar, my Shesog Gidim, each one can be turned into a clay kodesh. Can be used to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the truth is, at the end of the day, if I don't use my body in that way, then my body is not even really a body. What do I mean by that? My body's not even a body. Rav Wolfson writes in Parshas Naso on page 16, he says an amazing thing. He says the whole body, every bit of the body, is made up of something spiritual. He says that's why the gematria of B'Tselem Elokim is gematria 248. Because the Tzelem Elokim that hovers, the Shekhinah, so to speak, that hovers over every limb, right, is really the chiyus of that limb, to bring spirituality to that limb. And he quotes from Amorei Naim, how every limb is really just made up of various combinations of shemos of HaKadosh Baruch. So he quotes from the Satmar Rebbe, about halfway down the paragraph, on page 16, V'shamati mi'arav HaKadosh mi'satmar zatzal. What do we say in the tefillah? Kol peh lecha yoda, v'chol lashon lecha tishava, v'chol halavavos yiru'ucha. Every mouth admits to you, is thankful to you, confesses before you, Rabbeinu Shlomo. And every tongue swears in your honor, Hashem. And every heart fears you. And every knee bends before you. Like the Lashonos we have in Nishmas Kol Chai. So says the Satmar Rebbe, that's not true. There are plenty of knees on planet Earth, right, that are bowing down to other gods. And there are plenty of other body parts that are used in a way that's not serving Hashem. Every mouth praises Hashem. That's not true. There are mouths that praise false religions. There are mouths that praise secular things. So what do you mean every mouth sings your praise? So he says an amazing thing. He says seven lines from the end, Acha Kavana, based on what the Shlach Kadosh says, the Kol Shemos HaEvarim, You know why a limb is called by its name? It's really a reflection of something on high. When we talk about Hashem's Yad Chazaka, right? Hashem took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, B'Yad Chazaka, Uvizroa Netuya.
So we think, this is a Yad, my arm, this is called Yad, this is called Yad, this is called Zroa, right? And there's also a spiritual concept that is a reflection of this. No, the opposite. There's a spiritual concept of Yad, there's a spiritual concept of Zroa, and this was given to me to reflect that. So the term Yad is not primarily being said about a physical hand. Yad is a spiritual idea. It happens to be expressed in human form, in the form of a hand. And therefore what? If I don't use my hand to reflect that spiritual idea, it's not really a Yad. And if I don't use my peh to sing Hashem's praises, it's not really a peh. And if I don't use my knee to bow before you, Hashem, then it's not really a knee. So therefore, what are we saying in the tefillah? When we say that kol peh, every mouth praises you, Hashem, it's true. Every mouth that's really a mouth is praising Hashem. And every knee that's really a knee is bowing before Hashem. And every yad that's serving Hashem is really a yad. Because if it's not, then it's not, then it's just borrowed terminology. It's not an authentic yad. It's not a real body. It doesn't have real kiyum. Because you haven't injected it with the chiyus by which it was created to serve a Kadosh Baruch. So Chaver, let's finish up. I know I've said it 5 times now, but let's really finish up. 2 pages left. Very geschmack. I'm sorry. I went a little over time today. But let's finish strong. Rav Yaakov Katina from Chust, Zecher Tzadik v'Kadosh Livracha, and his Karbon Ha'ani, quotes an amazing gra. He says, I'll just show you the main part. It's a long piece here. Just look at the left-hand column for a second. It says that Avram Avinu, top of the left-hand column, where it's underlined. Avram Avinu, all of his shalom, right, elevated all of his limbs, as we've seen many times today. He says, right after it's underlined, Uvizesh shemati lefarish b'shem agon mivilna. At the end of the Torah, look what the Torah says. Such a powerful vart from the Gra. He has an arichas here, that's why I brought it from here. It's another svarim from the Gra. What does it say about Klal Yisrael? We're an am naval v'lo chacham. You foolish Jews. You should have been smarter. Should have been smarter about what? Says Unkelis, am dekabilu oraisa v'lo chakimu. How foolish you are that what? That you accepted the Torah, that you received the Torah, and you aren't smart. What does that mean, we accepted the Torah, we weren't smart? You know what the Gra says? Chaval, that you had to go to Har Sinai and hear the Torah. Chaval, you couldn't figure it out on your own. You had to accept the Torah, v'lo chakimu, you weren't smart enough to infer it on your own. That's chaval. The fact that you have to hear the Torah, the fact that you have to look in a book to figure out what Hashem wants from you is chaval. Am naval v'lo chacham. Foolish people. Dezehaya nevala. Right? There's an element of novel. Shayu tzrichim lekablas a Torah, v'lo hayiv madregas Avram Avinu. Chaval that we couldn't be like Avram Avinu. Chaval that we couldn't infer. Chaval that we spent our whole life struggling the guf versus the neshama instead of realizing they're meant to work together. That they're partners. That they're supposed to be like Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? A wicker basket filled with chiyus, filled with spiritual energy. So I'll just end. We mentioned earlier, the Rebbe of Melech used to take his body off and hang it over the back of his chair like a coat. We have a small sefer called the Oreach Letzadik from the son of the Rebbe of Melech, Rebbe Lazar. And he says, this is what I heard from my father. Now I'm not saying this, we shouldn't use this to we shouldn't be frightened. There are very lofty madrigos of the tzaddikim. But again, to at least try to sign up to be a shepherd on some level. Now I'm going to be the type of person who looks at my body and says, and looks at a sheep and says, if this sheep can be used every bit of it for the service of Hashem, then my body's not my biggest enemy. It's meant to help me to serve a Kadosh Baruch. So he says, my father told me the following. Kamosha Shemati, I heard from my father, Shomer Kamapamim. Halavai Shia Livne Adam Nishama Torah Mizdachachas Kamoa Gufshali. The Rebbe of Melech said, Halavai, Jews should keep their neshama on the level that I keep my guf. Halavai. That means his guf is on the level of the neshama. There was no conflict between the guf and the neshama. V'chol zeh garma sh'neshama b'torasu v'seichel elyon ad sh'nasa ha'guf merkava shleima k'dushasu yisbarach. To be a merkava to the Shechina. That Hashem should feel comfortable. Not that the neshama is a hostage in the body. That the neshama feels perfectly at home in the body. That part of God that was entrusted to us feels perfectly comfortable in our body because our body is not a disgrace to what the neshama is interested in. And that's what David HaMelech says. Acher v'kadam sartani. You made me forwards and backwards. Shigam ha'guf. The achor, the backwards part of a person. The part that seems to be against Hashem is also tzartani, has an element of tzura, to take chomer, to take the body, the physical body, and to turn it into a davar shabitzura. Gam hu nasa tzura. The Rebbe of Melech said, halvai, if people would keep their neshama on the level that I keep my guf, that would be a good thing.
But this is really what Chanukah is about. Chanukah by the Yavanim, the Yavanim were all about taking the guf and using it for pure gashmias. And therefore the victory of Chanukah is trying to take Chomer and to turn it into Tzura. That's why all the Sfarim say that the gematria of the word Chanukah, 89, is the gematria of the word guf. Because it's Zelu Mazel Aselokim. A person who understands Chanukah understands that the guf is meant to be used to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The word that he uses here, that the guf is Nasa Tzura, to take chomer, to take raw material and to turn it into something of substance, of meaningful substance, right, is what Chanukah is about. The Sfarim say Tzura is gematria menorah. Tzura is gematria menorah. Tzura is gematria menorah is gematria Eish, 301. It's all the same. To be able to recognize that the menorah, even though it was a physical kli, it was kulo Eish. It was a menorah shel Eish. Right? It was completely Tzura. It reflects a higher expression, even though it takes on a physical form. That it's a ner, and it's a psila, and it's shemen, right? Rashi Tevos Nefesh, like this farm talk about. But the victory over the Yavanim is to say that my guf is not the thing that separates me from Hashem. The guf is the thing that partners with the neshama to bring me close to HaKadosh Baruch. So mirtz Hashem, we should all be zocha. Halavai, halavai. We should walk a little bit in the ways of these tzaddikim, of Adam, of Avram, of Yaakov, of Moshe, of David, of the Rebbe of Melech, of all the great shepherds of Jewish history. We should go out into the fields, we should look at a sheep, and we say, if you can do it, then Amir Tzashav, I can do it too. Shkayach.